Hey, where's our men at? Oh, I like their. Y'all really stepped your game up a little bit, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Hey, we're having a men's ministry bonfire December the 7th. That's going to be at Joe Scheidel's house. Amen. Come on, somebody. Hey, our men, they're hanging out, y'all. If you're interested in that, December the 7th, they're going to have a bonfire hangout. They're going to have a cornhole and different things like that going on. Go see them if you need Joe's address. We can get that to you. It's December the 7th. It'll be this Saturday coming up at 6 p.m. at Joe Scheidel's. Amen. They're going to have a good time out there hanging out with the men. Also, guys, we're having the town of Constantine on December the 7th as well is having their light parade. Amen. Come on. So Miss Barb and her team, there's a whole bunch of you guys have gotten together, and we're building a float. They're putting a float together. Amen. Isn't that something? You know, and I'll say this, guys, a lot of people don't even know that we have a church here. Seriously, we have a lot of people that come through here weekend. We kind of like, oh my gosh, I didn't know y'all even had a church in the high school. So we've been going on our third year. But anyway, so hey, it's going to be good publicity for our church. If you guys are interested in see Barb, she's got a some setup out there. She's got plenty of donations. They're putting the float together. I think Santa and Mrs. Claus is going to be here too, I believe. And praise the Lord. Everybody's like, nobody, we're Christians. I get it. Santa and Mrs. Claus are going to be here. We're going to have a good time. Amen. They're going to have the float out there. They're going to have lights on it. It's going to be the electric light parade. It's going to be a good time. Amen. Thank you guys for all your hard work. That's December the 7th. Hey, real quick, guys, there's no middle school youth group today either. Amen. Everybody, nobody was happy about that. Everybody that has middle school kids is like, what? Hey, there's no middle school youth group today, guys. Go home with your kids and watch football. Where's our women at now? So ashamed of you guys. I am so disappointed right now. I'm so disappointed. Anyway, hey, ladies, December the 11th, the ladies are going to be meeting. They're going through the anointing of Esther. All right, they're going to be meeting at the COA on December the 11th. Tara, that's at 6 o'clock. 6 p.m., the COA in Three Rivers, December 11th. The ladies are going to be going through the anointing of Esther. They've been walking through these books. And also, on December the 15th, everybody say December 15th. 2 weeks from today, they're doing their small gift exchange. So they'll have a table set up out there. Last year, they did ornaments. I think they're doing a little bit gifts this year, I believe, small gifts. You come in before service, drop a gift off out there at the table. After the service, go and pick up another gift. Don't pick up the gift you dropped off. If you need any questions or you have any comments or concerns about that, please go see Tara and the ladies out at the table. Okay, so hey, 2 weeks from today, they're doing their gift exchange. Amen? Did we cover everything? Amen? Everybody okay? Is everybody okay? I said, is everybody okay? Y'all seem a little down this morning. Y'all right? Everybody okay? Well, notify your face. Notify your face if you're okay. Everybody smile for me real quick. There we go. There you go. Notify your face that y'all are doing all right. Y'all look like you've been baptized in lemon juice out there. Somebody sitting out here all upset this morning. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to the book of Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, say amen when you get there. So you guys have a good Thanksgiving. Yeah. Amen. So what are some things that you're thankful for? Tell me, Nate. Restoration Church, praise God. Praise God. What are some things you're thankful for, Ms. Deb? Family, come on. How about you, Sandy? Grandbabies, what about y'all up here? How about you, Hibbs? What are y'all thankful for? Come on, somebody. How about over here? What are y'all thankful for? Oh, oh. Y'all realize I wasn't going to stop until somebody said that. We'd have been here all day till somebody shouted my name out. I hope you know that. No, for real. I want you. Everybody say fires of life. Nobody said they were thankful for that. Then none of you say you were thankful for your struggles. None of you said you were thankful for the pain that you have to go through that changes you and turns you into who you are today. Nobody's thankful for that. Amen. I asked our pre-service meeting that this morning. I told them I'm thankful for my struggles because I stumbled upon my strength. Woo. Woo, you better write that one down. That's a good one. I'm thankful. We're thankful for a lot of things, y'all. Amen. We are thankful for a lot of things, but how many of you are thankful for your struggles? How many of you are thankful for the fires of life that you have to walk through from time to time? Amen. It's important. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Say amen when you get there. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Watch this. It says, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace. Everybody say seven times hotter than it usually was heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound. Watch this. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot. Everybody say exceedingly hot. The flame of the fire killed those men. The flame of the fire killed those men. Wow. Who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the burning fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Amen. Has anybody in here ever had like a near-death experience? Like close to death, I'm serious. Like close to death. Anybody had a near-death experience? What about maybe it wasn't life or death, but maybe it was a near-death experience in your business. Or maybe it was a near-death experience in your marriage. Come on, somebody. Maybe it was like, I was real close. Like you were super close. Like that one almost took you out. Like there was, like I don't know how we got through that one. Anybody ever been there? Four of you? Some way, some shape, some form, something tried to take you out. Church, listen to me very carefully. Everybody in here under the sound of my voice, in some way, shape, or form, something has tried to take you out. Something tried to destroy the life that you are desiring and wanting to build as you know it. Something tried to take you out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are facing a near-death experience. Amen. They are facing near death. It almost took them out. Amen. I don't care who you are. Everybody in here is going to experience the fires of life. I said, I don't care who you are. Everybody in here is going to experience the fires of life. Everybody in here is going to have some real fears and some hot tears. I'm just telling you, everybody in here is going to go through something. You are going to have real fears and you are going to cry hot tears. You're going to experience the real burns of life. Amen. And I want to walk with you through this real quick, and it's a story that we all know because I think we need to learn, church, listen, we need to learn to be thankful for the fires of life. Amen. Y'all did pretty good. We need to learn to be thankful for the fires of life. I'm liking it. Y'all are, see, y'all, they're starting to wake up a little bit this morning. I like it. Listen, the story here, I want to tell you. Nebuchadnezzar had built a 90-foot-tall statue, and his orders were, hey, listen, The communication has been sent out all over the entire nation. Every single person, when it went out to everyone, you're going to hear music play. And when you hear this music play, you are to bow down and worship this 90-foot statue. Everybody, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your religious preference is. I don't care what your gender is. I don't care if you have gout. I don't care if there's no excuses. Amen. Whoever you are, when you hear this music play, you're to bow down and worship this statue. Everybody. Everybody. So the day comes, the music starts playing, and everyone bows down. The entire nation is worshiping this 90-foot statue. Everybody's bowing down except for these three young men. These three young men have refused to bow down, and word gets back to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he is furious. He hears about the rebellion. He's so upset. He's so angry that he orders these three young men, listen, to be bound up and then thrown into the fiery furnace. And the only thing they're guilty of, listen, the only thing they're guilty of is choosing to serve God. The only thing that these three young Hebrew boys are guilty of is choosing to serve God. The only thing that they're guilty of is they have made a decision to place their trust, to place their confidence in God Almighty. And a lot of people think, well, yeah, that when they serve God, that they're somehow just going to make them exempt from certain fires and certain trials and struggles and pressures. But what you learn over time is that many times serving God is opposite. Amen. Many times it's opposite. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:32, look at this. It says, after you have been enlightened. After, come on, Hebrews, what is this? I got Hebrews 10:32 right here. It says, after you were enlightened. Watch. After you got saved. After you were enlightened. Do you understand that? Do you see it? After you have been illuminated. Watch. It says, then you go into certain struggles and pain. People think that we come to the Lord and we get saved and we're not going to go through the fires and the trials of life. But let me tell you something. After you've been enlightened, after you were enlightened, you endured great struggles with sufferings. Amen. Amen. In other words, many times because you decide to place your trust in God, your faith in Jesus, many times that's the reason. It's the only thing you're guilty of. You're going to go through things in your life, and the only thing sometimes, many times, is just putting your trust in God. That was it. Because I trust the Lord. The Bible says when you, after you were enlightened, you have endured great struggles with sufferings. You put your trust in God, and that's the only thing you're guilty of. And the reason that you go through some things that you go through is only because you're guilty of serving God. Amen. That's all those boys were guilty of. So he binds Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he goes to throw them in the fire. Which teaches us our first lesson. Number one, you shouldn't have made it as far as you have. You shouldn't have made it as far as you have. If you're honest about it, now listen to me. If you're honest about it, you should not be where you're at right now. If you're honest about it, you should not be where you're at right now, and you should not have made it as far as you've made it. Be honest about it. Be honest about it. Others didn't make it. Others that should have made it didn't make it. Others that should have made it didn't make it. The Bible says in Daniel 3:20, watch this, that these were the king's mighty men of valor. He commanded these mighty men of valor who were in his army. These were the king's strongest men. His most mighty men died at the door. Not everyone has made it to where you're at. Not everyone has made it as far as you've made it. As a matter of fact, you were probably the one expected to not make it this far. You were probably the one expected to not make it this far. These guys were mighty men of valor. They had been voted the most likely to succeed. These were the king's mighty men. They listen, in the yearbook, that was class clown, most likely to succeed. These men were mighty men of valor. They were the king's strongest men. They were the king's bravest men. They were the king's men of valor. They were most likely to succeed. The votes were handed in. The votes have been tallied. These are the guys that are going to make it. These are the guys that are going to be on top. These are the talented. These are the gifted. These are the king's strongest, mightiest men. Now watch this. The Bible says in Daniel 3:22 that the flame killed those men at the door. Look at it. The fire took those men and killed them at the door. I think the reason sometimes you have to learn to be thankful for the fire is because you have to acknowledge you made it a lot further than what most people thought you was going to go. Amen. I know I wasn't the most likely to succeed. I know I wasn't one who was supposed to be here. I shouldn't be where I am. I know that I can go back and say, yep, I remember I shouldn't have made it through that. I remember I shouldn't have made it through that one. Boy, that one right there about killed me. Come on, somebody. Who, oh, is it just me? You shouldn't be where you're at. You should have never made it as far as you made it. Amen. Listen carefully. It's not that it's been easy where I'm at right now or where you're at right now. Right? It's not that it's fun. It's not that it's absent of its own trials and tribulations. Listen to me. But the truth is, even the fires that I'm experiencing right now in my life, I shouldn't even be here anyway. You should have died at the door. The fires that you're going through right now, you got to appreciate them because you should have died at the door. You shouldn't even be going through them anyway. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to preach to y'all the rest of the day. You can tell this is the troubled section of the church. They're going through the fires up there. They're like amen and hallelujah and stuff up there. The truth is, the fires that you're experiencing right now, you shouldn't even be going through them anyway. You shouldn't even be here anyway. I can go back and there's poor choices that should have pushed me off the ledge. There's been terrible relationships, a rough upbringing. There's enemies along the way. All of those things are there. Amen. And you had them too. And you had them too. We all go through the fires of life. All those things that were working against you, you should have never made it as far as you've made it. Amen. But you didn't die at the door. Come on, somebody. You didn't die at the door. Yes, it's still tough out there. Yes, it's still hot. Yes, the fire's still burning. Yes, you have struggles. But you have got to thank God for the fire because you've made it as far as you have. Come on and clap your hands and thank Him this morning. Thank God for the fire that you've made it as far as you have. You shouldn't be here. Come on. I shouldn't be here. Amen. The next thing that I think is interesting is they had to be careful to not let go of the miracle they received at the door in the fire. Listen, don't let go of the miracle that you're here. Don't let go of the miracle that you're here. They had to be careful. Listen, that in the middle of the fire, they didn't let go of the true miracle that it is that we're here. Amen. The true miracle that it is, church, listen to me, that we're here this morning. It really is a miracle that you're here or you haven't really lived very much. It really is a miracle that you're here or you really haven't lived very much. Amen. But many people, they let go of that miracle in the fire. I want you to understand this. Many people let go of that miracle in the fire. I think the way that you hold on to the miracle is that you have to acknowledge that God would have not brought me through the door just to let me get consumed in the fire. I said, you have to hold on to the miracle that you're here right now because God would not have brought you through the door if He was going to let you get burned up in the fire. He would have killed you at the door. So we want to fight and we want to... It's a miracle that you're here in the first place. Amen. Amen. The fact that you've made it as far as you've made it should be a signal to you that God is on your side. The fact that you've made it as far as you made it should be a signal that He's with you. Amen. Come on, somebody. Woo. The fact that you've made it this far should be a signal to you that He's with you and He's going to bring you out. Amen, church. And sometimes you can't see it in your mind. Sometimes you can't see it in the natural. And sometimes no one else can see it. But you've got to get this in your spirit, church. You've got to get this in your spirit, little rat. You've got to keep on swimming. Come on, somebody. You've got to keep on swimming. And you've got to get this down in your spirit. Amen. That He's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out, church. You got to get it in your spirit. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't come out struggling. When God called them out, He said they didn't come out grappling and crawling. They came out not even smelling like smoke. God brought them out stronger than when they went in. He brought them out. They didn't come out. Listen, they didn't come out struggling. They didn't come out of the fire wondering what happened. They came out of the fire stronger than when they went in. Church. You got to understand it. The Bible says that the smell of smoke wasn't even on them. Amen. In other words, they came out stronger. They came out with a greater anointing. They came out with a greater peace. Come on, somebody. They came out with a greater joy. Amen. So not only are you going to come out, but you're going to come out greater than what you was when you went in. That's what I want you to know. That's what I want you to know, church. So the Bible says that they came into the fire. But this next part, though, I think is really where a lot of us are really at. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. I think this next part is where a lot of us are really at. Okay? And I'm preaching to myself. The Bible says in Daniel 3:21 that they were bound and then thrown into the fire. These men were bound and then thrown into the fire. Not just any fire. A fire that was 7 times hotter. Watch. They were bound and they were thrown into a fire, and not any fire. A fire that was 7 times hotter, which lets me know number 3. That many times the things we face are greater than what we imagined. Listen. Many times the things we face in life are way greater than we ever imagined. Some of the things that we would ever have to walk through. When I look at some of the people that struggle, and I'm including myself in this, they struggle with depression, they struggle with discouragement, they find themselves believing they can make it. And I think a lot of the times is because what they face is greater than what they ever imagined that it would be. It's just greater. And we all have that ability in our minds that we can predict some stuff's going to happen in life, right? We can prepare and we want to prepare ourselves. We can consider the costs and the risks and the trials and the worst case scenarios. We can consider some of the consequences to our decisions and all of that. We all have that, right? We all have that. But many times, we all have to admit that sometimes we face things that are 7 times greater. We face things that are 7 times greater than what we ever imagined that they would ever be. Way greater than anything which lets me know that the attack of the enemy on our lives is usually on multiple levels. Church, listen. If it was just the fire, you could probably make it. If it was just 7 times hotter, you could probably make it, right? But it wasn't just the fire. It wasn't just that it was 7 times hotter. But the Bible says not only was it 7 times greater, but they were also bound, right? If it was just the fire, that most things that we face are greater than we ever imagined. It wasn't just the fire. It was 7 times greater. It wasn't just that they were in the fire, but they were also bound in the fire. And sometimes it's those areas in your life that the enemy, see, while you were focused on the trial and the struggle, The enemy found a way to wrap you up. While you're facing the trials and the struggles that you're going on in your life, the enemy has found a way to wrap your mind up. The enemy has found a way to wrap your heart up. The enemy has found a way to wrap your emotions up. The enemy has found a way to bind you up in every area of your life because you are too focused on the fire. Listen. You get in the fire and you find out, not only am I in a struggle, but somehow the enemy has got me bound in areas of my life I didn't even know about. I didn't even know I could be so depressed. Come on. You get into the fire and you find out that you didn't even know you could be so negative. You didn't even know you could be so bitter. You didn't even know you could fall into an addiction. You didn't know. You didn't know. You were too busy in the fire. But it wasn't that it was in me until I got in the fire. Come on, I feel you. It's not that it wasn't in me until I got in the fire. And what happens is the enemy, he will use that trial in your life. Listen to me. The Bible says in James 1:3 that when you have trials, that the testing of your faith produces character, produces patience. If God uses trial to build you up, then guess what? The enemy is going to use trials to destroy. If God uses trials to build you up because the trials produces character, and if God uses trials to produce character, the enemy is going to use trials to destroy your character. The enemy is going to use trials to destroy your integrity. So you get into the fire, and then you find out that it's way worse than what you ever even imagined that it would be. And so many times what happens is we find ourselves bound, or the enemy has access to our life, and the way he found access to our life was a result of the fires. Because we were in the fire. The way he found access to your life, something happened, and it was greater than what you imagined. And now all of a sudden it brought something out of you. It was greater than what you imagined. And now all of a sudden it's brought something out of you. And many people struggle their whole life in an area that the enemy has them bound up in. And the truth is, the reason that it's there is because it's something that happened to them in the fire. It's something that they picked up in the fire. Amen. It's something that they picked up in the fire. Remember the story in Acts 28:3? The Apostle Paul is making a fire, and he's making the fire, and a viper comes out. Why? Because of the heat. He's making a fire, and the viper comes out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. The serpent didn't grab a hold of him until there was fire. Come on, somebody. He's putting everything together. The serpent's there. The viper don't come out until the heat. There are things that are going to come out in your life in the fire. So when the enemy, when you get in the fire, it's amazing. Listen, the kind of ways that the enemy can attack your life. Isn't it? When you get into the fires, isn't it amazing how the enemy just attacks your life when you get into some things that are greater than what you ever imagined? Amen. You get into things greater than what you ever imagined, and the enemy comes at you in so many different ways. And the amazing thing about the enemy is, just like with Paul, he grabs a hold of you and he don't let go. That serpent grabbed a hold of Paul and he bit on, son. He had him. He wouldn't let go. Bible says Paul's trying to shake him off. Couldn't get off of him. It had a bite on him. The enemy gets a hold of you. The enemy will get a hold of you. And the Bible says Paul's trying to shake that thing off, but it don't let go. The Bible says there's a young man in Mark chapter 9, and he kept throwing himself in the fire. Over and over and over, he keeps throwing himself in the fire. And everyone's trying to figure out, why does this young man keep throwing himself in the fire? And Jesus shows up. Read it, Mark chapter 9. Jesus shows up and acknowledges somewhere along the way the enemy had gained access to that young man's life. And it wasn't that he couldn't be free. It was that the enemy kept throwing him back into that thing over and over. It wasn't that he couldn't be free. The enemy kept throwing him back into that fire over and over and over again. Amen. There are things that are going to come out of you. You got to get a hold of this, y'all. The enemy kept throwing him back into the fire over and over and over. Which brings me to the next point. The Bible says in Daniel 3:23 that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound in the midst of the fire. They fell down. They were bound in the midst of the fire. Most Christians refuse to admit this. Most Christians refuse to admit this. But I want to tell you right now, sometimes when you're in the fires of life, guess what? You fall down. You do something stupid. You say something stupid. You act stupid. Maybe you get mad. Right? You're in the fires of life. Things happen. Say things you don't mean. Do things you don't, right? Most Christians refuse to admit this. But when you're in the fire, sometimes you fall. I've been such a strong man of faith and power, and then bam! This thing greater than I ever imagined hits me. You've been such a strong person of faith and such a strong person of power and everything else, and bam! Something hits you that's way greater than you ever imagined. I thought, that happens to them, not me. That goes down in their life, not my life. I fast, I pray, I seek God, I read the Bible. Those things happen to them, not me. And then it's greater than what I've imagined. And then all of a sudden, I find myself not just in the fire, but I've fallen in the fire. Oh, am I only one? Oh. You find yourself not just in the fire, but now you've fallen in the fire. And the truth is, there have been times that I've not just been in fires, y'all, but I've fallen in them. My prayer life wasn't great. My love for God wasn't great. My desire to worship like we did today wasn't great. I was here. I was present, but I was down. So many people like that. Amen. You're awful quiet. And that's why I love this story. If you read the story, listen, it says in Daniel 3:25 that the king looked in and he saw the fourth man that looked like the Son of God. Now, we don't see the fourth man when they're arrested. We don't see the fourth man when they're bound. We don't see the fourth man when they turn up the furnace seven times hotter. I'm guessing he was there, church. I'm guessing he was there, but we don't see him. We don't see the fourth man when the king's strongest men die at the door and they survive and make it. We don't see the fourth man until they fall down. You don't see the fourth man until they fall down, which is when most people say God can't possibly be okay with you when you're down. But really, in this story, we find out that that's the time. You know what? I'm just going to preach it like I want to. I think Jesus was back there just watching. He was just sitting back watching them. And he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he comes up and he sees them fall. And he's like, I got you. Get up. You can do this. Don't quit. You got this. I'm preaching it like I want to, Jill. He watched them walk around in the fire. He seen them go through everything, and then they fail. And he said, keep on swimming, little rat, because I'm going to reach down and pick you up out. Woo! Man, the Lord helped them up. The fire ain't meant to kill you. The fire ain't meant to kill you. And I love this as a side note. The king that threw him in there was the first one to see it. Woo! The one who threw him in the fire was the first one who said, oh my God, Jesus is there. He was the first one to see it. Come on, somebody. The king who threw them in there was the first one to see it, which tells me every now and again, that God likes to show off your fiery furnace moments. Woo! Every now and then, God will give the people a front row seat that celebrated you going into the fire. God will give your enemies and your critics a front row seat. God will give them a front row seat. And he'll say, I'm going to let you sit there and watch God pull them out. Woo! Give them a front row seat. Ain't that something? Praise the Lord. God will let them stand there and watch God bring you out. You cried and you were hurt. You were wounded. But somehow Jesus was there. He picked you up. Come on, somebody. And you kept fighting. And you kept pushing. And you get to stand there and watch as the faithfulness of God and his goodness brings you out of that fire. Woo! And everybody's got to watch. Everybody gets to see the faithfulness of God in your life. I promise I'm almost done. This is my favorite part. This one right here. Listen. Everything up to this point is just preacher stuff. All right? Everything up to this point, y'all, is just preacher talk. All right? It's a good sermon. It's good preacher talk. But we're going to wrap this up right here. And this is for everybody. And I'm going to drive it home right where you live. The Bible says, and I've always heard it preached this way, that God brought them out of the fire. But that's not the way the Bible reads. That God saved them. That Jesus did it. The fourth man brought them out. But that's not what the Bible reads. God actually took it one step further. Come on. God actually took it one step further. The Bible says in Daniel 3:26 that God made the evil king that put them there bring them out. That's what the Bible says. Look right here. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and he spoke up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come here. Look, he says, come out of there. Get out of there. You come out of here, you come here. So that's a good point. Great place to shout. Great place to clap. Great place to say amen or something. And I'm going to tell you why. Watch. The evil king that put them there, he said, I love it as a side note, because the king that threw him in there was the first one to see it, right? He was the first one to pull him out. And if you read, listen, if you read the Bible, it's very clear in subject that most Christians try to be too intelligent to acknowledge. And I want to tell you this, when you read the Bible, it's a very clear subject that most Christians are too intelligent just to even acknowledge. That one of the reasons we end up in the fire, that one of the reasons that we go through those things is because we won't be free of certain things until we get into the fire. There's some things you'll never let go of in your life until you get in there. And I think the reason that Jesus is walking around with them in the midst of the fire, and Jesus hadn't brought them out yet. The Bible says they're walking in the midst of the fire. He said, I see three men walking, and the fourth one walking in the midst of the fire that looks like the Son of God. So I think the reason that Jesus is walking around with them in the midst of the fire and he hasn't brought them out yet is I think he's trying to establish in them not just a love for his faithfulness and his goodness, but he's trying to develop in those boys an equal hatred for the enemy that put them there. And I say that because, and I want you to understand what I'm trying to say, because I don't think, listen to me, I don't think that many people that would be in here on a Sunday morning struggle with their love for God. Right? I mean, you're in church. Whether it's completely evident that you love God, whether it's completely, or, you know, you really don't quite know where you're at with it. But you love God. I would say that that's probably not most of y'all's struggle. You're here. You love God. He's been good to you. He's done more for you than anyone else. He was there for you when no one else was there for you. You shouldn't have made it this far. Right? You shouldn't have made it this far. And that's powerful. But some things grabbed a hold of you in the fire. Some things grabbed a hold of you and brought you down while you were in the fire. And you don't really come out until you develop not just a love for God, but a hate for sin. Because I don't think that anyone in here don't love God. See, a lot of people love God, but they're still okay with their sin. A lot of people love God, but they're still okay with their sin. They're still okay with the compromise. They're still okay with it, and it's the thing that grabbed a hold of them while they were in the fire. But the Bible says in Acts 28:5, watch, Paul had to go back to the fire and shake that serpent off in the fire. He shook it off in the fire and suffered no harm. He couldn't just say, I love God. Paul couldn't just say, I love God. He had to go back to the fire where he got that thing. So he couldn't just say, I love God. He had to say, I refuse to let the enemy have access to my life anymore. The guy that was being thrown into the fire over and over, Jesus had to cast a demon out of his life. Somewhere the enemy had gained access to his life. And many Christians live their life with the enemy continuing to wreak havoc on them. And it's not only that they don't love God, because you love God, they haven't come to the point where they're fed up, where they're angry, where they have divine anger for the fact that the enemy is working to destroy every single part of your life that is good, that is holy, that is wonderful. The enemy hates you. You cannot coexist with him. You cannot be nonchalant about it. He hates you. He has a threefold agenda: steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. You can't coexist with him. That's all he wants to do. You can't be nonchalant about it. You can't negotiate with it. The only one position you can have towards sin and the enemy is your life is that I have a divine hatred for it. And we love God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were guilty of loving God. It was the only thing they were guilty of. But they didn't come out till they had developed that divine hatred. You got to hate sin. And you got to hate what the enemy's plan and strategy is to do in your life. Because the Bible doesn't just say that God brings you out. The Bible says that the enemy has to be the one who gives you back seven times what was taken from you. The Bible doesn't just say that God brings you out. The Bible says that the enemy has to be the one to restore back to you seven times what was stole. The Bible says if the strong man comes in your house and be found, then the stronger one can come in and bind him. So if the enemy gains access to your life, he has to be found. You have to say, God, I know that I love you and I want to serve you, but the enemy's got a hold of my life right there. I love you, God, and I want to serve you, but the enemy's got me right here. Amen. And I know that this is not your will for my life. I know that this unforgiveness is not your best. I know that this compromise in my life is not your best. I know that this addiction is not what's best. And I can act all day like God's graceful and God's merciful. And he is. And he is. Love God. But go one step further, church. Love God and say, God, I need you to give me a hatred to find the strong man that has bound me up in my life so I can invite the stronger one in. Help me find the strong man that has bound me up in my life so I can invite the stronger one in. And his name is Jesus. And it's not only that I can love God, but I can tell the enemy that he has no authority in my life. Amen. And then the enemy is going to be the one who announces to the world that he underestimated me by throwing me in the fire in the first place. Woo! The enemy has power, but he does not have authority. The enemy has power, but he does not have authority. If I punch you in the face, that's power. If Chad presses charges on me, that's authority. If I hit you, that's power. If you press a charge, if he presses charges, that's authority. Amen. The enemy can hit your life, but you're the only one who can give him authority. The enemy can hit your life and hit your life and hit your life, but you're the only one who can give him authority. Amen. At some point, you have to say in your heart, not only do I love God, but the enemy has hit my family. He's hit my peace. He's hit my mind. He's hit my faith. God, develop in me a desire. Give me a hatred to come out of all of the things that he's using to destroy my life. Amen. Acts chapter 16. We go. And I promise I'm done. I promise I'm done. We're going to end with a song. We're going to worship the Lord together. Come on. Paul and Silas were thrown in prison. They were beaten. They were arrested. God opens up the prison doors and the chains fall off. The man, the jailer that was guarding them, the Bible says he was going to kill himself because he knew they were going to kill him because the prisoners were gone. Read it. Read Acts chapter 16. And Paul and Silas, they say, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't kill yourself. We're here. We didn't go anywhere. He said, don't kill yourself. And the jailer comes up to him and he says, what can we do? What can I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas go to his house. Read Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas go to his house in the middle of the night. The Bible says his entire house was saved. And not only that, he baptized them in the middle of the night. Read it. But this is the craziest part. Paul and Silas, they don't take off and run back to where they were at before they got busted. I don't know about you, but if I break out of prison, I'm gone. Obviously, y'all have never been there. Got rabbit in my blood, y'all. I'm out. Listen. Paul and Silas don't take off running. They don't go back to where they were at. They don't stay there in the house with the jailer. They don't get a hotel. They go back, read it, and they finish sleeping in the jail. The magistrates and the people that unlawfully beat them and imprisoned them send a messenger. And it says, you tell them to go away, but you tell them to go away quietly. And Paul and Silas say in Acts 16:37 right here, says, you go back and tell them they've beaten us openly, they've thrown us into prison openly, and now they have put us out secretly. You tell them we ain't going nowhere. Tell them we ain't going nowhere. They beat us and imprisoned us publicly, then they can come and release us and let us go publicly. Listen, they cannot do us harm publicly and expect us to go away secretly. And that's what the enemy does. He works to destroy your life. He works overtime. And then he wants you to become like, okay, well, you can be religious and you can come to church, but just be secret about it. You can just go to church for an hour on Sunday and the enemy's got a hold of your life, but you just be quiet about it. You just be secret about it. But at some point, you have got to develop that thing in you that says, I'm not only going to love God, but I'm going to hate the sin. You have got to get this thing that is developed in you. The Bible actually says that this is why the sons of us were manifested, that we might not just honor God, but also destroy the works of the devil. That we don't sit here and be quiet.
to destroy the works of the enemy. How do you destroy the works of the enemy? You have got to develop something in you where you just make that decision that I'm not just going to only love God, but I'm going to do what I can do to make sure that the strong man is found who's been trying to destroy my life. So the stronger one can come out and deliver me and free me and bring me out. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.